You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
From their innovative practice facility to unmatched views from the fairway, the PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with 5G solutions from T-Mobile for Business. Together, we're using AI-powered analytics to expand coaching tools and bringing fans closer to the pros with 5G-connected cameras. This is game-changing innovation. This is the PGA of America with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
With the new Dexcom G7, you can achieve better diabetes results without painful fingersticks. It sends your glucose numbers to your compatible phone or watch so you can always see where you are and where you're heading. See how food and exercise affects your glucose, making it easier to spend more time in range and lower your A1C. Take more control of your diabetes with the number one recommended CGM brand. It's easy to get started today at Dexcom.com. That's Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.
Play action. Fires. Picked off at the 30-yard line. Ronnie Hickman. All the way. Touchdown. The Ohio State rookie. Flacco on third and goal. Throwing. Caught. Elijah Moore for the score. Moore is now out. Marquise Goodwin comes in as the wideout to look for, and Flacco almost gets sacked. There he goes. Throws on the run. Caught inside the 30, inside the 20. Goes Jerome Ford. Still on his feet. Ford looking for the end zone. Gets there.
Ooh-wee. The Cleveland Browns are playoff bound. That last touchdown was Joe Flacco's third score of the first half. Would be the last touchdown of the game as the Browns win 37-20. I am Greg Rosenthal for the last time on Thursday night this season. And I could not be more excited to be joined for this TNF finale and this Brown celebration by this Bengals fan, Nick Wesseling. Let's go.
Let's ease up on the Bengals fan. I'm a casual Bengals fan, we'll say. Don't want to disrespect the real Bengals fans out there.
Of course, you know, the brother of Chris Wesseling, but a sharp football mind in his own right. And what better way to end the season on TNF than one of the stories of the season, Joe Flacco. This is really happening. Each week I watch it, and I kind of just can't believe it's happening. And some of the stats we can throw out in a second are just insane. But Flacco is out there slanging it against one of the top defenses in the league. By halftime, he had almost 300 yards. The Browns had 34 points. This is real. This is a real thing that's happening. It's a beautiful story. It's one of my favorite things that's happened in the NFL this year.
Who would have thought that Joe Flacco would be the 39-year-old quarterback we'd be talking about at the end of December?
Good one. In this game especially.
In this game, we know what Joe Flacco's always been. If you give him time to throw, he can deliver a great ball. He's always had the arm strength, always had the ability to read. It's when he's under pressure that he tends to falter, and there wasn't a lot of pressure tonight. So he was able to pick him apart that entire first half.
It was crazy. But the thing I think that's surprises me the most is how well he's moving. Like, I want to know what training he was doing. I swear he's moving better. I think they broke out a sneaky athletic term during the thing. And usually, you know, it's like they only give that to the white QBs who are actually athletic. But like, Joe Flacco is sneaky athletic at this point, because he's doing the play action fakes about as well as anyone. Mm-hmm. He's rolling out. He's making throws on the move. That last touchdown that we heard, Quinnen Williams hits him so hard in the helmet that when Flacco goes to the sideline and takes his helmet off, he's got a huge red mark on his helmet. And Joe Flacco don't care. He continues to run to the left, improvises. And that's one of the things that's gotten me about these last 4 weeks of Flacco is that a lot of these plays are on the move, like design rollouts and even occasionally kind of improvising like he did on that play.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you heard that. He was talking about running routes with his dad and throwing the ball 60 yards downfield. I don't know if you heard that or not on the telecast, but something more than that had to have happened because he's in much better shape than he was in last year. He's moving a lot better. He's throwing the ball better. Now, some of that obviously is he's not playing for the Jets. Sorry, Dan, I had to get that dig in on that one. But
We'll have time for that.
He's always been a solid quarterback if he has time to throw, and he showed it again tonight. He's shown it the last 5 weeks. What's he up to now? 1,600, 1,700 yards? 1,600 yards? Is that what it is?
Something like that. There was a point at halftime, like I said, he had 296 at halftime, and then they couldn't do anything in the second half. Mm-hmm. It totally went away. He actually only ended up with 309. So there was a stat that the Jets hadn't given up a 300-yard receiver in 33 games over 2 years, and he got 300 yards on his first throw of the second half. That's how quickly he got to it. Another crazy one with that is, since 99, when the Browns returned, that was when they returned, right? The organization has only had three games where a quarterback had 250 yards and two touchdowns at halftime. Flacco has done that three times already. Deshaun Watson does not have a 300-yard game yet with the Browns. Joe Flacco has four. He was close, if he had had a big second half, to having the most yards any quarterback in the history of the NFL has ever had in one month. He did not pass Peyton Manning from like 99 or some crazy year, but the stats are crazy, and then just the scenes are awesome. What were you thinking? I don't know. Watching that big man with his shirt off, enjoying himself, and Joko shaking the camera, and just like a really great celebration in a way that really they haven't been able to celebrate since 2002, because even in 2020, it was the COVID year and they couldn't have this kind of fun.
Yeah, the Browns have played great, and they deserve it, and the fans deserve it. One of the greatest fan bases ever. They showed up even when they stunk for the last 25 years. Well, the better part of the last 25 years, there's been three good years in there, average to good years in there. After the Deshaun Watson, I don't want to make it a Deshaun Watson thing. Like, you know, a lot of fans left, and I gave them a good reason to come back this year. They played great, and it kind of shows who thought in 2023 with a good defense and a great offensive line that you could win 11 or 12 games, which is what it looks like they're going to do.
Yeah, but like, here's the thing. They don't even have a great offensive line anymore. They have a great offensive line coach. They have... Yeah. A pretty good interior because Betonio is back in the lineup and Wyatt Teller. So they have a great guard tandem. But they played this game without, they're on their fourth quarterback, no running back. Amari Cooper was out for this game, which was a surprise. Makes you kind of rethink, why did they put him back in at the end of the last week's game? He didn't play. Elijah Moore, who was having a big first half, got what appeared to be a concussion late in the first half. Like I said, without their top left tackle, their top two right tackles, and we're going to get to some coach of the year talk later, but I think one of the reasons why Flacco is just, he's on my screen right now with this huge smile on his face is like, there are open receivers. This is a great offense, even when you don't have any players left on it.
You saw it in Minnesota with Stefanski too. He can scheme it up and get guys open no matter who his receivers or quarterback is. You said no running back there. I think you're underestimating what Jerome Ford has meant. And I mean, Kareem Hunt's a nice little addition there too. But Jerome Ford was outstanding tonight. He made people miss, ran people over. You know, whether it was running the ball or receiving it out of the backfield, he was great. Like you said, Njoku in the first half, he had reason to be yelling into that camera at the end. He was outstanding in that first half. We were texting about it, and they were trying to play man against him with linebackers. And I don't know. It looked like I was trying to cover him out there.
There was that one play on the crosser where they caught CJ Mosley and he's leaning inside and Njoku just blows by him. And that was like I've been in this league a long time. I mean, you know, Mosley's been in the league a long time because after the game, it's him and Flacco hugging at the sideline. I was like, man, they were teammates like a decade ago in Baltimore. And I think what Mosley said to him when they're hugging was like, they were chanting your name. I mean, it is really a beautiful moment. And sometimes, you know, these seasons aren't about winning the Super Bowl. I of course think of one of the last podcasts, sadly, you know, your brother did with us, was when the Browns won that playoff game. And that was a really special moment on the podcast for Mark. We had been with him all this time being a Browns fan, and he got that, and Chris was fighting his fight, and it was great to have Chris with us. And I couldn't help but think of that tonight. Yeah. Another special night here in Cleveland, except this time it's just so weird. It's so improbable. Those are sometimes the best sports seasons. I don't know if the Bengals have had some of these where it's just like they're probably not going to win the Super Bowl, although at this point, like, people are starting, you know, it's like maybe they'll dream to do it, but just a total unexpected delight that was capped off tonight.
Why can't they win the Super Bowl? They're the only team that really beat the Ravens the other two games. Okay. The Ravens kind of shot themselves in the foot, and I know the Browns were down in that game late too, but they beat the Ravens. It wasn't that the Ravens beat themselves in that game. And outside of that, the Ravens have outplayed every team they've gone against. The Browns have made some pretty decent teams look bad, and bad teams look worse. And then again tonight, it happened again. The Jets never stood a chance in this game, but I want to talk a little bit about the Jets.
Okay.
How many times can you shoot yourself in the foot? I mean, you got fourth down where you get the play in with 5 seconds on the play clock. You get
it's a Nate Hackett special.
It's not just that. I mean, I think it was 12 penalties, most of them crucial situations, delays a game on fourth down. You had they went for it early in the game on fourth and sixth, and instead of kicking an easy field goal. Then they miss a field goal. It could have been a different game in that second half if they make a couple of plays. I don't think they would have won anyway, but at least it could have been entertaining going down there. I wanted to take a nap the whole second half.
I mean, I'm not going to get on them for being too aggressive in the first half because they were driving me crazy with the lack of aggression in the second half. They're down. They attempted a field goal to cut it to 14.
They
like inside
right into the line.
On the 13. And then they get that blocked. Then they punt from midfield on fourth down in the fourth quarter, down I think it was 17 at the time. Then another possession you mentioned where they don't get the play in, so it gets moved back to a fourth and 11 and they kick it there. They just kept deciding not to go for it on fourth down, but I guess you're probably not going to get it on fourth down. If you go for it, you're sneaking it, but it's just like, just try to, you're actively trying to not win the game at that point. And I've never been a fan of Bob Sala's game management in general.
No, and Dan's been on him for several weeks now with good reason. It's more of the same. Now, in his defense, it was probably the best chance they were going to win is try to pin them back and get a turnover and maybe you can get a quick score. But even when they did that, they couldn't score. The Jets, I really, you know, ate some humble pie a couple of weeks ago when I was talking about the organization and the coaching staff, and I locked up, who was it, the Texans, and they ended up losing by 30. But, you know, and the Jets showed me that week. But I wasn't wrong about my analysis. It's an outrage that this team is even playing football at this point. It's an embarrassment every week. They should have been in this game.
They're 6-10, and you know, I'm hoping that with a little extra rest, they can beat the Patriots next week so that end that streak so that Patriots don't keep messing up this draft pick. You're right. They actually didn't take advantage of three turnovers by the Browns. Flacco had the one interception that was returned for a touchdown, a great play by Jermaine Johnson. But Flacco could have had one or two more. You're going to get those. Mm-hmm. There was one throw. This is when I knew they were living right, where he basically threw it right into a Jets defender's chest. It bounced off, and Moore caught it for a first down. There was a fumbled kickoff, I believe. Flacco had another fumble that he fell on. There actually were opportunities here for the Jets to do more. But to me, the biggest takeaway for the Jets, we don't need to spend a ton of time on them, mm-hmm. but to me, the biggest takeaway was, you know, they start the game and the Browns go right down the field, 75 yards, touchdown. It's all Njoku for the most part. Jets respond with one of their best drives of the season. Six plays, 75 yards against this Browns defense. It's 7-7 after 8 minutes. I'm like, wow, this is a great looking game so far. Browns get the ball back, go right down the field again. Nice mix of run and pass. You're right, Jerome Ford, it was big for them. They were able to run for 127 tonight. Most of that in the first half. Ford was 12 for 64. They haven't been able to run at all last 3 weeks. That was big for them. But that's a Jets defense which gave up, you know, two long touchdown drives on their first two drives, and then another one a couple drives later, early third quarter. So this Browns offense was kind of shoving it down their throats. And if you got that as your defense, like every 4 or 5 weeks, which seems to happen to this Jets defense, it's like, what do you really have?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't have anything to add to that. Excellent.
I know. I'm just.
Well, that's enough Jets talk.
I'm just honking.
It was good honking because you were accurate on everything.
It was a bizarre game. It was the highest scoring first half of any game in 4 years. Jets, Browns, 34-17 at halftime, which is just bananas. And then it was the first game ever to go over 50 points in NFL history in the first half and have no touchdowns in the second half. The second half, everyone was just kind of wasting time. And there was that clip of Flacco very relatably starting to nod off at one point. And I thought, well, maybe that's why he's not playing too well. Like, he literally was falling asleep on the sideline. Like, get this man to bed. It is very tiring to play professional football. Can you imagine nodding off while being a quarterback in an NFL game?
If you're involved in that game, maybe, because that second half was brutal. It was tough. How many possessions were there? There had to have been 8 or 9 3-and-outs in that second half.
It felt like it, but it actually wasn't that many. It was like 60
at one point. The Browns had 4 straight 3-and-outs.
Yeah, and a total of 11 Jets, possessions, I mean. You know, between the two of them, and no touchdowns. So there wasn't much going on. You mentioned why can't they go to the Super Bowl? Okay, they are still alive for the one seed. They are 11-5. Oh, that's crazy. The Browns are 11-5. They need the Ravens to lose out. So that would mean the Ravens losing to the Dolphins this week and then the Steelers next week. Yeah, pretty unlikely.
Unlikely. It could happen.
It could. And you'll have an idea after this Sunday whether there's even a chance. The Browns finish in Cincinnati. Not an easy game, but the Bengals have not won a division game all week. Most likely they're going to be the 5 seed. And I do think it's tricky. They might want to rest players next week, but they also might lose the 5 seed potentially if they rest next week, because the loser of Bills Dolphins, if they're both fighting for the division, would they have a better record than? Yeah, if they both lost, it depends. There's a lot of factors. But yeah, I'm trying to think.
I don't know. I think they need to
either
rest.
Way, if you play at the AFC South winner, the Browns are probably, as the 5 seed, the favorite in that game.
As they should be, because the AFC South, there's been a couple of teams with some valiant efforts, but they don't have the talent that this Browns team has. And we'll talk about, we mentioned Coach of the Year. We'll talk about, there might be some names that come up from that South division in that on my list. I don't know about yours, but we'll see. And then I still think you rest them in that week. You mentioned all the injuries on the offensive line, Amari Cooper, now Moore. I don't think you can play them in that. If you're, I mean, I saw a graphic 99% chance they get in. They're in the playoffs.
Well, they're in now. They're in the playoffs. Yeah. But in terms of the five, like the 5 versus the 6, I was bringing up the possibility that if the Dolphins lost the next 2, they would be 11-6. Off the top of my head, I'm not sure who would get, you know, that 5 seed. If you fall down to, you know, 6, then you're probably playing the Chiefs the first round. I don't think they would be too worried about that, but it's just something I'm just putting out there.
I guess we'll wait and see. The Browns, I don't know, we'll mention the Chiefs. The Bengals still have a chance at the playoffs. They'd have to they have to win both games, I think. I guess they're not mathematically eliminated if they lose one of those.
No, tonight
games,
didn't help. Not that it was a big deal, but they need to win both games and still get a ton of help.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
We mentioned Coach of the Year. We've teased it. All right. Stefanski.
Let's do it. He's
clearly one of the favorites for Coach of the Year. He's going to be on the list. He's got, when we go to NFL honors, they mention three coaches as finalists. That's not really how it works. You can only vote for one. It's not right. Like MVP where you can vote for multiple. But they say three coaches' names. They know who's going to win, but usually three coaches get votes. So they'll, you know, those are the top three and you don't know who it's going to be. I'm going to mention seven names on a long list in no particular order. Then you give me what your list would be, your top four, let's say.
Okay.
And so in no order, Mike McDaniel, John Harbaugh, Dan Campbell, Kevin Stefanski, Sean McVay, Shane Steichen, and Kyle Shanahan. To me, those are seven reasonable names. I don't know if you would have anyone else on the reasonable list. Give me your top four in order.
I have. Well, you didn't mention John Harbaugh in there.
I did. Harbaugh
was
in there.
Oh, I missed that. Okay.
I did.
So I have. And you didn't mention Todd Bowles. I think he should at least get some outside.
I don't think he's a reasonable choice. I don't think he's a reasonable choice.
He was on my long list, not my short list. But I have.
If I had to make a top 10, he's on it. But that's.
I have Stefanski 3, Steichen 2, Harbaugh 1.
Wow. Interesting. Okay. Give me your reason.
First of all, I think we so often overlook the best team with the best coach. I think, how many times did Belichick win it in all those years? Once or twice?
I think he got two in the end. Harbaugh did get one. I was just checking on this.
And this Ravens team has played better than everyone else in the league. They don't make a ton of mistakes. I know there's been some little management issues, but I think if you go through a whole season, you're going to have that. But I think it's Harbaugh, and I don't think it's particularly close for me.
Wow.
I think
now if they lose to Miami but win the division, is he still the choice?
Me. Yeah, we'll see. I guess we'll talk about it after Sunday if that's the case.
Okay.
I think Shane Steichen, what he's done with that team, and they're still playing well. D'Amico Ryan was on my long list too.
Oh my gosh, I forgot to mention Ryan. That is my bad. That is my fault.
But he's on my long list too. But like I had a hard time putting him in the top four as well.
I mean, they've won three games the last couple of years and. And he has him at 8 right now.
And most people thought it was the most talent poor team in the league starting the year. Now, I think we proved that wrong over the course of the year with two stud receivers and a great quarterback. But, you know, the defense was extremely thin and they played okay most of the year. Now they've gotten exposed a little bit here more recently. And I don't think he'll end up getting it because I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. However,
well, if they win their last two games, and I would preface all this by saying I do think the last two games matter a lot for these awards because I think there isn't a lot of separation between it. And then you have Stefanski 3.
Stefanski 3, Steichen 2, Harbaugh 1 is what I had.
Yeah, it's just crazy what Stefanski has overcome. Chubb, Watson, although they're getting great quarterback play out of Flacco. Conklin, Jedrick Wills, some more depth pieces on the offensive line. And then on the defense, they aren't stars, but they lost a handful of players for the season, a couple safeties. Grant Delpit, who was having a Pro Bowl-type season. Roddy McLeod, who was essentially a starter. And Okoronkwo. So they've just overcome a lot. Even Dustin Hopkins, is he coming back this year? I don't know, but he's out. Like they've just overcome so much. And then when you watch them every day, you just see how he can coach offense, how he can create receivers. So going into last week, Shanahan was my guy. And it's partly because I want to reward everything about coaching, not just like who is taking the over under wins of like 7.5, like the Browns, and getting to 11, but like the entire process, because we keep giving these guys coach of the years that like it doesn't look great in the long run. Like Dable last year, now that already doesn't look good. Matt Nagy got one. Jason Garrett got one. Ron Rivera got two. I mean, he has more than Andy Reid, you know.
In Rivera's defense, he did do some.
Yeah, but like one of the years
things.
He was. Yeah, one of the years
he was 9-7 or something.
It was like 9-7 or something like that. Like Stefanski, in part, gets credit for beating expectations, but you have to at least acknowledge somewhat he is partly responsible for setting those low expectations, and he made a great hire in Jim Schwartz.
Yeah,
but he also like made the bad hire that required. Firing the old guy that, you know, I'm just saying.
Hey, at least you didn't try to stay with your mistake too long.
Mike Smith won one with the Falcons. I mean, that was fine.
I don't even know who
Dick,
that is.
Dick Geron won one with the Bears, then won four games. Okay, and so with all that in mind, thinking about like what's impressive to me, Stefanski is my number two. Harbaugh is my number three for all the reasons you say. But my number one right now, I think, is Dan Campbell. And it's partly for the holistic thing that he did, bringing this Lions team from the ashes, the whole 3-year process to get to this point, how easy it would have been after how last season finished to take a step back. But instead, they did take that step forward to kind of answer these challenges. They're not like a perfect team, but he's very good game management wise. He's very good at bringing the team together. And so for the total job, I'm going to give it to him. And Browns fans might not like this, but I am admittedly taking into account Stefanski won one 3 years ago, too. It's like, are we really going to give Stefanski 2 and 4 years? Come on. I don't know. There's part of me that actually thinks that Browns fans were so upset when I mentioned that online. But I was just like, I don't know. Is Stefanski really the best coach in the NFL twice in 4 years? That seems a little crazy.
Dan Campbell is a thought. You built a good case for him.
Okay. Thank you.
It would be a 2 or 3 year award. What was he, 0 for his first 8 at one point?
Yeah.
He's out there crying. It would have been very easy for the organization to move on from him.
And started 1-6 last year, 1-7 last year, whatever it was.
And
too.
Now, good organizations, if they feel like they have the right person in place, stick with them. I mean, not to say bad about any other organizations that have gone through 3 coaches in the last 3 years, but there's one out there that's bad again, and they'll be looking for another one. I don't know. I wanted to get to one more thing before we okay. head out here. I wanted to talk a little bit about the AFC North, because you look at the Bengals, they're 0-5 in the North. They'd be 8-2. They're 8-2 against everyone else. The Ravens have only lost one game outside the North. The Steelers actually have the best record in the North.
What is
they go
with
up
that?
Where they play in Seattle?
Seattle this week.
They're in Seattle?
Yeah, they're in Seattle.
Well, I guess it's a good time for me to go ahead and say that I don't like the Steelers. They're going to be eliminated from the playoffs this week, and that's why I'm locking up the Seahawks.
Oh, wow, a surprise live lock on the TNF recap. We weren't ready. Randy, behind the glass. Do you have it? There it is.
So,
Thanks, Big Funk. We didn't warn you on that. I didn't know. That was exciting.
I feel like the Steelers, I mean, it's nice that they've gotten, you know, back into it, but they're not good enough. Defense can't carry them forever. So Seattle's going to win that game.
We'll
have to talk about one of the AFC North teams after this week, maybe two. We'll see.
I hope you're right. As a Geno enthusiast, it does worry me, those two pass rushers versus these tackles who can't protect anyone right now in Seattle. They've been living a charmed life these last 2 weeks with these last second touchdown drives. It's a tough way to live, but I feel like they could do it again. And apologies to all the coaches we didn't go for. You know, McVay, Ryan's. I think a lot of guys will get votes. So that was very classy of you. A live lock to finish up. TNF, screw the Steelers, by the way. And can you wake up and get a win there, Bengals? We were getting all excited about the Bengals.
I mean,
7-point dogs in Kansas City. I do like that number for you,
yeah,
but
I
don't know
if they'll
win.
I thought the rainmaker might make an appearance on that. I think every time they've played for the last 6 times now, it's been a 1-score game. So I don't know. I think the seven's a little, you know, a little rich for that.
And your boy Anarumo always has a good plan for them. Yeah, and
well,
I know he's not. I know their defense isn't playing well, but he's always has a good plan for Patrick Mahomes.
So you would bottom think. Three defenses in the league this year, and I did not see that coming. So anyway, enough Bengals talk.
No,
we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens on New Year's Eve.
It's always good to get some Bengals stuck in. What are you doing New Year's Eve? You working at the bar? You know,
I am working at the restaurant. Yeah,
at the restaurant. Sorry,
9:30 to 9:30 most likely, okay. Something like that, 10 to 10 somewhere around there. So,
do you ever listen to us? You know, LA/Hollywood media folk talking about common men rankings and think, hey, how about me over here? I'm running this restaurant 9 to 9 on New Year's Eve every night. I'm not complaining about getting an extra game because there's 10 and 1 a.m. game, 1 p.m. games this week. I'm the top of the common man rankings, yeah. Nick Wesseling.
There's worse things to be than an NFL analyst, I think. But, you know, that's a conversation for another day. I love my job, so I'm not going to complain. So,
no, you
but
shouldn't.
Yeah, you guys are soft. Shouldn't.
That's more what I was trying to say. Chris would always laugh when that conversation would come up because he would just think like, y'all are all soft. Give me a break.
You guys don't know nothing about the West Side.
What is going on the West Side, by the way? How are the Wesleyan? How was the Wesleyan Christmas in general?
Wesleyan
the family
Christmas was good. You know, we went over to my Uncle Rich. You've been there for Christmas Eve.
Chris's Phil favorite comes, place on earth.
Yeah, probably mine too. Phil came down from Columbus with the kids and Heather, and obviously Tim, Mike, and me, and Steph and Matthew were there. So, and my mom. So we had a good time. Got to see some relatives, and you know, always a good time to see family. And Christmas time, you know, it's the happiest time of year.
The Wesseling clan rolls deep. I mean, it is a clan.
Oh, does it?
the one time I was there, you know, at their, there were family members, which half of you didn't even know. There was just family members all over the place. I don't even know.
There was, I think that was 95 of them there that day by my count. We were planning on 100 with you and Colleen showing up, and I think someone got ill and couldn't come into town, so they left four behind. But I think it was 95 or 96 that day, and that wasn't all of them, by the way.
That's crazy.
There was more.
Well, it's a festive night in the AFC North. Congrats to Mark, to all the Browns fans out there, to Joe Flacco. I'm excited that they're going to be part of our little playoff adventure. It was a treat, Nick, having you. On maybe we'll make this a tradition. You're the closer. You're our Mariano Rivera. Insert great Reds closer of the past. Come on, who's the best Reds
John
closer?
John Franco, Rob Dibble. There's been a ton of them. Aroldis Chapman. Like, how about that?
You strike me more as a Rob Dibble. Can be the Rob Dibble every year.
That was a fun year, but no, I don't think Rob Dibble's my guy.
For Nick and Randy. Behind the glass. We've enjoyed doing these TNFs every week. We'll be back on Sunday to bring you our week 17 recap. It's going to be a loaded one. A lot of Sunday games this week. Until then, do as Chris Wesseling would say. Heed the call.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th. 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.